Today's show is brought to you by Harry's. To get your free trial set, including a razor handle, five-blade cartridge, and shave gel, go to harrys.com/cadcast right now. That's harrys.com/cadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 498. I am your host, Chief ED, here in Long Island, New York. And as always, we are joined by a man who's now 40 years old plus 1 week, Wombat.
I am, and I'm drinking a beer because I'm old enough to buy one now.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And you had a very stress-free day?
No, I've been home for about, maybe a half hour from work? For those wondering, it's about 9:15 at night here. It was a long day, but I'm home now, and I'm doing this with you, so how could I not be happy?
The trains are messed. Long Island Railroad is messed up.
The trains were a mess. It was it wasn't a fun evening.
It's going to be really fun this summer when they're doing all the construction on the trains, and they have to cancel, half the trains.
And the fact that they charge me more than I pay for my car a month to take the train? Seems worth it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But it is the most traveled commuter rail in the country.
You'd think it would be better.
Not necessarily.
You'd think.
It could be worse, maybe. Maybe not, though. Anyway, I think everybody wants to hear about your 40th birthday escapades, Wombat.
Well, we had a really nice lunch at Bigelow's Clams.
I agree. I like fried clams a lot, and those are probably the best that you can get in the metropolitan New York area, as far as I know.
Probably, and I've had a lot of fried clams in my day. So,
and how do these compare to the ones that you've had before?
They're super good. I mean, the ones out at the Lobster Roll out east are very good too. Mm-hmm. But who wants to drive 2.5 hours,
right,
when you can get ones that are just as good, if not slightly better, about 15 minutes away.
I also made Wombat order the New England clam chowder, even though he didn't really want to, but it's his birthday. He should be gluttonous, I feel.
You have to have birthday clam chowder.
Was it a bad decision? Was it a bad call?
No, it was not. It was a very good decision. That's some mighty fine clam chowder. They put corn in their chowder, which is, I think, unusual for clam chowder, but not a complaint.
Right. Yeah. If you're on Long Island, you got to hit up Bigelow's in Rockville Center. It's pretty much an institution.
Yes.
And what about the gifts that you got for your birthday?
I got a really nice book from you. Which I've been reading. I'm about 100 pages in.
What was the book?
Console Wars by Blake J. Harris, who wrote a really nice inscription in there.
Right. That was the key part of the gift that somehow got omitted from the Twitter post.
Oh, yes. He signed the book. Cheapy met up with Blake J. Harris and had him sign the book on my behalf, which was incredibly nice and very cool, and I showed it to everyone who would look at it in my house. Mm-hmm. Elliot didn't quite get it, but Sabrina was impressed.
Yeah. So, that was very nice of Blake to do that. I thanked him
super
a lot.
Nice. And I'm really enjoying the book. So
it's a great book.
It is a great book.
There's no way that somebody who listens to this show is not going to enjoy reading that book. Unless they're a super diehard, unless they're a super high diehard Nintendo fan, then they may. Nintendo's pretty much like the kind of the villain, I'd say, in that book, if there is a villain.
It's interesting reading it from even from like someone who works in marketing related and advertising related stuff all day. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to take away from it, even outside the video games, even as a business learning tool. there's good stuff in there.
Yeah, because you have like the big established company, Nintendo, who is maybe not that agile, going against like the upstart Sega of America, who's, you know, basically ready, willing to do anything just to, you know, get their foot in the door. It's a lot of drama.
Yep. A lot of drama. Very cool. And that was, I think, the only physical gift I got from. Oh no, I got, you know, one of my friends gave me a bottle of sake, which I have in the fridge, and I got a beer glass that says "You're 40, drink beer." I don't, or something.
And you got an Amazon gift card.
And I got an Amazon gift card from you, which was very nice. I haven't used it yet. I'm deciding. I think I may hold on to it until maybe like. I'm wondering if maybe that's what I'll use for something like a Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Or a Nintendo Switch.
Or it would go very well towards a Nintendo Switch. They don't have any for sale on Amazon.
I know. Right?
So I can't do that. I did look it up, though.
You got to hold on to that shit.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. Trust me, I have plans.
Good.
I even looked at some of the more ostentatious Lego sets.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So trust me, it's like, when you have your choice of, you know, whatever you want, what do you get?
I was like texting Ship in like our secret chat that doesn't involve.
I'm here, by the way, yeah, too. I just
I that was me.
Oh yeah, Ship breaks here.
That was me getting you involved into the conversation.
Thank you.
It only took 5 minutes.
I was just given plenty of room for Wombat's birthday.
Yes, you don't want to step on it.
No.
I was like I was texting Ship from Best Buy. I'm like, they have this giant Fallout bobblehead here on sale. This is a dumb gift, right? And Chip's like,
yeah. He would have loved it.
Yeah, but it's better to have your choice, I think. I didn't want to encourage the acquisition of like silly bobbleheads, really, for Wombat.
Well, you know, it goes back to, and we talked about what my wife got me last week. She got me the, you know, those collector boxes, the Marvel boxes of junk. So I have my junk coming. I don't need more junk.
Right, on a monthly basis.
On a bi-monthly basis.
Okay.
But yes, concept still holds true.
Yeah.
Actually, I wanted to ask Ship, because I'm drinking a beer that I had for the first time on Saturday night on my birthday, that I liked so much that I went to the distributor the next day and bought a six-pack. And I was curious to know if you've ever had Victory Golden Monkey before.
I think so. I think I have had that.
I know you're a beer aficionado. That's why I was curious to know if you've ever had it.
I'd have to check my Untappd to see if I... Well, that wouldn't be 100% accurate, but it could be on there. It sounds familiar.
It's what makes it special is that it's 9.5% alcohol.
Oh,
that's special.
As opposed to the, I think, the usual like 4 or 5.
You should chug that shit right now. Chug-a-lug. It's a rough day, dude.
I drank.
Get it in.
I had three of them. I had three on my birthday. So.
Oh, wow. That would have killed me.
And that was after I had this really good like whiskey drink made with honey and ginger.
Wow. I would be
basically
vomiting.
It was whiskey with honey and ginger. So
nice. So it sounds like it was a good birthday.
I had a lot of fun. You were missed. So was Shipwreck, to be perfectly honest. It would have been nice if you were both there. But
both where?
We had a good time. We ate a lot of food and
I was
drank
there
a lot
in spirit. I'm right there online.
Yes.
I could not make the birthday dinner because it was my mom's birthday for real that day. And it was your fake 4 days after your birthday. So I had to choose between my mom's actual birthday and your fake birthday.
And you made a bad decision, but that's okay.
We had a lovely time.
Did you have peanut butter shrimp?
Yes. Yes, I did. I don't want peanut butter shrimp.
Everyone wants peanut butter shrimp.
I don't think those things go together.
It does. It was so good.
All right. I believe you.
I know.
I have a question for Shipwreck. Well, I don't have a question for Shipwreck. This is from at my pile of shame, because I asked this question on Twitter, like, I think yesterday, and I got like almost 70 replies to this. It was like one of my most replied to tweets ever. So clearly people want to know, including at my pile of shame. He says, listeners need to know where Shipwreck stands on charcoal versus propane grills. And Wombat can chime in as well. He's allowed.
I mean, I'm 100% propane just because you turn it on and you're grilling.
Right.
I cleaning out a charcoal grill and having to deal with that is not like something I would enjoy. So I'm much more likely to just turn a knob and be grilling.
That was my,
I understand like charcoal tastes like it's got a nice taste to it. I don't think that's particularly like that big of a deal to me, but
tastes like carcinogens.
Yeah, that's basically what it tastes like. It's like, I probably shouldn't be eating this.
Well, I know Wombat has a charcoal grill because I've eaten off it.
Yep. Yes, you have. I think more than once, maybe twice.
Well, once when you weren't there, I snuck into your backyard and had some hot dogs. No. So, I mean, I know Wombat's made his choice, but do you have a strong feeling one way or another? Because it was pretty mixed from the replies.
Do I have a strong feeling? No, I don't have a strong feeling.
Okay.
I prefer charcoal personally. I think it may have to do with that's what I grew up with and it's what I know. And when I moved to the house, I got not one, but two charcoal grills as housewarming gifts. Mm. So now I have two charcoal, you know, and they're good ones. They're the good Weber charcoal grills.
I have
that last 1,000 years.
I have two grills, one for each of you.
Exactly. So that's what I've been using. I don't need to get a propane grill, but I don't dislike them.
Gotcha.
I've used them in
the past. I think you're a propane guy, Cheapy.
That's what the consensus seemed to be on Twitter. People like I've listened to enough of your show to realize that you should be buying a propane grill. I know that's what my dad thinks as well. I could also buy no grill and be very happy.
No, get the grill.
You can get one of those
like the propane
grills.
One's so easy. Like you could just, you wouldn't even be meaning to, and you could go out there and grill something.
Oops, I made a hot dog.
Right. Just get a
little
snack.
That's how my kids were born.
That's not a hot dog. Ugh, I've grossed myself out. Okay. Let's do some show feedback.
Sure.
The new format we have here.
Regarding our thoughts on Mario Kart, Frisky Tanuki has to say, Nintendo fanboys are annoying, says Forza fanboys like Cheapy. That was an amusing thing to listen to. Cheapy treats Metacritic like most gamers, where the opinions included agree with his viewpoint assumptions or it's wrong. There is no difference of opinion.
I mean, I don't think it's down to an opinion of does Mario Kart offer a modern gaming experience. I mean, like Shipwreck says, the format hasn't changed really at all since the Super Nintendo days. You got the Grand Prix where you do the four races and, you know.
Rainbow Road.
It's got Rainbow Road.
It's got like three Rainbow Roads.
You got Battle Mode and...
Whoa, wait. Did you say three Rainbow Roads?
Forget it. I changed my opinion. It is really a modern game. I don't know that how that comes down to my opinion. I didn't say that I didn't think it was a good game or a fun game. I just compared to...
Well, you said you don't understand why the Metacritic score was so high on
it. Right.
And then people really... What upset most of our listeners was that you put so much stock in Metacritic scores. I don't think it's that you're putting so much stock in them as much as that it's... The value of Metacritic is that it shows the average consensus of the vast majority of mainstream media video game reviews. So you're commenting on the fact that all of these reviewers gave it such a high score.
Yeah, I don't
think that's a reliance on Metacritic as much as it is pointing out a fact.
It's not even a reliance on opinions. It's not about opinions when you're looking at like comparing things on Metacritic, because the opinions have been taken out and it's just the scores really. Like there's not an opinion involved with giving Forza a score and then another person giving Mario Kart a score, really. Like it's not a difference of opinion because it's an average of all of those. Like everybody has the same opinion is Metacritic.
Right. In that case, it seemed to be pretty universal at least. I don't really care what Metacritic says. I just feel that like critics in general seem to give Nintendo games like that a pass, whereas if Microsoft or Sony had a kart racing game come out where you couldn't send invites to people to get them into your game, I don't think it would be getting a 93 or whatever. Or, I mean, or forget about the score. I don't think it would be getting such high praise. People saying it's the best thing since sliced bread. That's all I'm saying. I'm not
it's
saying
the same thing as sliced bread, as sliced bread was 30 years ago.
Yeah,
here it is again.
Here it is.
Deluxe sliced bread.
And I will
actually, I've been getting some really good sliced bread lately. So,
can you invite people to join you with the
93?
I do share it with my family. Does that count?
I will say I've been having fun playing Mario Kart with Ty.
It's a fun game.
It's a fun game.
I wish it had more content.
Exactly. And Shipwreck's idea of the open world thing, I mean, that would be so amazing. It would be so, because everyone, you know, the tracks are great. The world, the little worlds that they've built into the tracks, I mean, you think they would lend themselves perfectly to an open world environment, but I recognize that Nintendo would have to spend more money on making the game.
Even if not go that far, but just like some different race types. Like this,
no, let's go far. Why not? I mean, it's not like Nintendo's some indie company that can't, you know, can barely rub two nickels together. It's a fucking multi-billion dollar company. They could do it. They have the money.
There's no doubt that they could do it, but they make just as much money not doing it.
Right. That's the problem. They're lazy. No. Anyway, go on, Wombat, before I piss off more people.
Oh, we're still talking? Where was I? We are saying that regarding paid loot boxes, receiving better odds for more valuable items.
In Overwatch.
Dragoon Knight has to say, if the odds were better for people who paid for loot boxes with real money instead of in-game currency, people would straight up riot. Cheapy is goddamn insane.
I mean, I was sort of asking the question last week. I didn't say for sure that that's what they should do. It didn't seem unreasonable to me that if they decided to do that. I think there's a way that you could implement that and not have people riot and still encourage people to spend the money. You know, after all, we are still talking about just cosmetic stuff here. It's not pay to win or anything like that. So I don't know why people would straight up riot. People seem to be buying loot boxes anyway. I think people would buy more, though, if they had better odds, and Activision would make more money.
Sure.
They like money. Mm-hmm. As we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yes, we will.
Next.
Regarding Chibi's bad house, and also an update for Shipwreck if he feels like giving one. Sokotoa Goy has to say, I'll go on record as pro bat box vote. Ours is attached to our house. It gets activity sometimes, and we notice fewer mosquitoes when they are around. They are looking for a home. Give them one. You don't have to, and they'll look around for openings in your roof, your attic, your children's play equipment, and other things. Full disclosure, you will have bat poop under the bat house, so plant vegetation in front of it to block it.
Yeah, I just don't know if I have enough sunlight coming in to make the bats want to move into my bat house. I'm not, you know, there's a lot of trees around here. I also read that the thing has to be up pretty high. And I don't know. That means I need to get a pole, basically. It sounds like you don't really want to put it on a tree if you have the choice. But I definitely have enough like wooded area that I wouldn't have to plant anything. They could poop. underneath the house, and I don't think anybody would ever walk there. So I'll think about it some more. But telling Mrs. Cheapy the story about Shipwreck's experience, she wasn't super thrilled about the idea.
That is more than understandable.
Yes. Any updates, Chip, on the
One more shot to go.
Sweet.
Yep. One more shot, and then we're in the clear.
Excellent. Excellent.
Excellent. That's good to hear.
And how about some Watch This Bitches?
I saw a movie.
So did I. Is it the same movie?
I think so. Did Cheapy see this movie?
I did not.
Great. Cheapy, you stink.
Good review.
I can't. You know, it's hard for us to see a movie on the opening weekend.
No, I'm hard, but that doesn't change the facts about the movie.
This is disgusting. Take that back. So talk about Guardians of the Galaxy 2 without spoiling it for me.
It's really good.
Mm-hmm. Not as good as the first one, but
It's really good. It's not as good as the first one, but that doesn't mean that it's
not Iron Man 2.
No, what's Iron Man 2? Really, nothing. I want to talk about it, but I don't want to say anything that might give anything away. I mean, it does so much right and very little wrong.
Good.
Yeah, I think the only reason it's not as good as the first one is just the plot isn't as consequential. To the overarching Marvel universe, I would say.
Yeah, it's very much its own thing. I think in the timeline of other Marvel movies, it only takes place 3 months after the last Guardians of the Galaxy movie, where the Marvel movies are like 4 years ahead of that. So it doesn't really fit within the timeline. There's no callbacks to anything. It's great that it works on its own and that it has its own voice.
Did you?
Yeah, totally. It's like I immediately after watching it, I was ready for a next Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Yes, I very much want to see Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
It's just a fun universe.
Did you notice?
My wife and I both loved it.
That's good. Did you notice Richard Christie's cameo from the Howard Stern show?
No.
He was one of the guys he's the guy that said, "Down there!" And he was wearing a lot of makeup.
Excellent. I saw it in IMAX 3D.
How was that?
It was pretty good. It's pretty cool. So, the 8K IMAX 3D.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That sounds impressive.
It sounds impressive. Actually, it looked amazing. Like, you could see, like, the dirt on the windows behind people, but it was very clear. It was kind of weird.
Where'd you see that?
How noticeable the details were. Farmingdale.
Oh. So, maybe not too far. Maybe this weekend. All right, what else we got here?
I watched The Man from U.N.C.L.E. because Wombat recommended that last week.
That's a good double feature, though. You had that actress double feature. I don't know her name.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that.
So congratulations on that, double feature that you didn't even know you had.
Right. That's a very watchable movie.
I know. Isn't it fun?
Yeah, if you like, I don't know, it's a lot like what 90s spies movies were like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is set in the 60s, but like just the feeling of those 90s spy movies where it was, I don't know, just a lot of stuff blowing up and like fun situations.
Yep.
What's a 90s spy Superman movie? I can't think of any.
What?
Sneakers. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Debicki, by the way. That is the actress that is in both The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Okay.
Sweet.
The guy that plays Superman is in this.
But he's really good.
I still can't decide if he's a good actor or not, but he does well in this role.
He's charming and handsome. It's all he needs to be, but it's nice to see him be charming and not be just there.
Not just handsome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's nice to see Armie Hammer in a movie that isn't terrible, also, because he has either the worst agent or doesn't know how to read.
Maybe I'll check this out if it's on Netflix.
You don't have to wait for it to be on Netflix. You have Shipwreck can help you with that.
Oh, with his super account?
Uh-huh.
Sweet. All right. At Mentasm writes in and asks if we like Judge Dredd and we'll be watching the TV series.
I watched Dredd on, I think it was on TV on Sunday, and it was on and I was on the couch.
That's a great movie.
So it is a great movie.
Let me see.
I'm excited to see.
I'm always confused at where your kids are at when you're.
It was like 9 o'clock at night.
Okay.
At 9 p.m., my children are in bed.
That's fine. It just seemed like you were laying on the couch on a Sunday. It just, to me, seems like middle of the day, just watching Dredd.
It's the middle of the day. I was watching Dredd. No. Sunday days are very busy. My kids do too much now.
So what the TV series, what channel is this going to be on or what service?
Right now, I think it's only announced for like British TV. So who knows?
Hmm.
Oh.
But it's being made by Rebellion Studios, the same studio that made the Sniper Elite games that I like so much. So.
So that is something.
That's something.
Wait, what? Wait, it's a movie? Yeah. I mean, a TV show? It's a live action TV show?
The live action TV show is made by the same parent company that made that game.
Uh-oh. No, could be good.
So.
All right.
So, yeah, I had a brief Twitter conversation with the social media manager and marketing for Rebellion about it today.
Hmm.
Because I flat out asked him, I'm like, are you going to make a game too? Because even if they use that sniper engine to make a Dread game with those 3D kill shots, that would be pretty baller. But he wouldn't answer.
No.
He just, he gave me a very unqualified maybe.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it was announced that there's a Deadpool animated series coming, co-created by Donald Glover.
Great.
What channel is that? Oh, FXX.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sweet. I'll watch that
show. Same channel as Archer.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are good shows. All right, let's move on to new releases. There's a few of them this week.
Yeah, I know. I guess you've been playing Prey, or trying to play Prey, right, Cheapy?
I've had a lot of technical problems with my video games this week. It's not supposed to happen on consoles, but here.
Now, this is the MC Hammer game.
That's a reference that nobody will get, I'm pretty sure.
I definitely got it.
Right.
So, okay, so I think a lot of people
going to make it today.
That wasn't one of his bigger hits, I don't think.
Everything on Please Hammer Don't Hurt Them was a huge hit.
That's true.
Both side A and side B.
Mrs. Cheapy told me that she had an MC Hammer phase when she was growing up in Japan, and she had the jacket and the pants and went to an MC Hammer concert in Osaka. So
did she do what she wants to do? Say what she wants to say?
I guess so. So Prey, yeah. So I was very proactive, and I asked for a Prey review code in a timely manner. And believe it or not, I was granted one, even though Bethesda is supposed to be pretty stingy with them. Although I think they sent it out the day before the release date. And, you know, now when I ask for, or when I buy or ask for any multi-platform game, I ask for the PS4 version because I assume it's going to have a PS4 Pro enhancement. And in fact, on the back of the box, even though I got a digital copy, but people told me the back of the box does say PS4 Pro Enhanced. But apparently, there is no enhancement. At least, and I've searched the internet far and wide, to find out any information about PS4 Pro Enhancement. And the only enhancement that I can find is that there's a lot of input lag on the PS4 version specifically, and I think really just to the Pro. It seems like the Pro version, when you play on the Pro console, it's the worst.
Is that a 4K issue?
No, because it's not enhanced. There's nothing. I saw a video, and it doesn't seem to be any enhancement at all. And there's been no statement by the studio or the publisher about said PS4 Pro enhancement. I sent a message to their PR guys, an email to their PR team, the day it came out, and I still haven't heard anything back. And yeah, there doesn't appear to be any type of enhancement except for this detriment, actually. And the controls are so sluggish with this that I decided to stop playing. The start of the game has you, I don't think this is a spoiler to say this, you have a wrench as a weapon, and you have to hit these black blobs basically that are jumping around the screen, and when the controls are not responsive, you know, they're on the floor basically, so you have to look down at the floor and whack these things with the wrench. It's very difficult to do when you have like a half a second delay on moving.
It's very difficult to do in real life, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I
like trying to hit something on the floor with a wrench.
Yeah, and I find myself dying, which, you know, is not really probably something that's supposed to happen so early in the game. And I liked the whole concept of what was introduced in the first, I don't know, half hour or so, I thought it was very interesting, and the setting seemed really cool, and it seemed very...
How are the vagina doors in this one?
No vagina door. I don't, you know, I think we talked about this last week, while we couldn't figure out, or maybe I just talked about it in my own head, but it didn't seem like putting the Prey name on this thing offered any benefit whatsoever, because it has...
We didn't have to go get a new name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did talk about it, right? I mean...
I don't know. I don't know if we did or not, but I mean, that...
I remember having that conversation
saves
with
time.
You.
Time.
It may have been in person.
I think so. I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Like, it has nothing to do with the previous Prey game, which I enjoyed a lot. And it doesn't. It's not like a... I don't know. I don't think people really remember that game anyway. I don't think it was a huge commercial.
I remember that game.
Well, you do, but I'm the general audience. And I don't think it would
I've
be a selling point.
Pewter figurines from that game.
I just don't see it being like a benefit. Besides the fact that they wouldn't have to think of another name. I just don't get it. I don't think it helps them at all. But
it's a decent name.
That's what I said to you. It was at lunch.
Yeah.
I said pretty much the same thing. It's a good name. It's easy to remember and easy to spell.
I guess.
Why not use it?
I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise you're going to spend a lot of money just coming up with a new name and going through
That was exactly what I said. I said it was probably like... the Friday before Memorial Day weekend, and they hadn't come up with a name for the game yet, and they said, well, do we own anything already that we don't have to go through legal so we could all go on vacation? And someone said, what about Prey? And then they said, all right, vacation.
And then somebody said, what about Wayne Gretzky hockey? And they said, that wouldn't make any sense.
Too late. We're already on vacation.
Anyway, so I stopped playing the game because I feel like, I mean, it says PS4 Pro Enhance on the box. I mean, don't you have to have some enhancement at that point? So I'm going to wait till see if they patch it.
You don't even have a box.
I know, but people told me that it says it on the box.
Do you have the box?
No, I had a download code.
Did you look at the box?
People told me about the box.
People told you.
Yes, that it said it on the box. And people were complaining. Oh, I searched Twitter. Trust me, I put a lot of research into finding...
If people told you, I'm sure it's true.
Dude, I put a lot of time and research into figuring out what the PS4 Pro enhancements were, if any, and what the whole situation was. And I'm sharing the results of said research with you now. So don't be mad. Don't make fun of me. I'm spending my time very wisely, clearly. Anyway, the point is I'm going to wait to see if they patch this thing. But I heard that these problems, they had similar problems with Dishonored 2. And I don't think the input lag issues ever got fixed. And I think they were exclusive to PS4.
Can you turn off the pro mode? Or is it like a thing? You have no choice.
No, it's not a... It's like there's nothing happening in the Pronus. Like there is no... It's not like it's trying to render it at some higher resolution or...
I hate it when I have problems with my Pronus.
Yeah. It's just... It's something's fucked up is basically what's happened. And I don't know if it's going to get fixed or not, but I'm hoping that it will because the game seems very solid and interesting. It seems very Bioshocky, and that's a good thing. So you'll have to check back in with me, see if they patch this thing, and we'll talk about it more in the future. What else we got this week?
I know we've all been playing NBA Playgrounds.
Yeah, I played like two whole games of that.
We've been playing that on Xbox One.
Yes, we got review codes for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am not very good at it.
It's got a learning curve. I know I played a little bit of... There was an early version that came out on PSN last week
by accident.
That wasn't, yeah, on accident. It wasn't really supposed to get released at all, and I was having trouble with that version. But again, I think that was it had a little bit of controller lag, which is weird. But I picked up the Xbox like One controls, and it works great. The key to that game is releasing the shot earlier
than you think you would have to.
Right. You're not waiting till for like the top of the jump or anything. It's like just press it and almost immediately let it go again.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much like NBA Jam. It's super.
All the controls are the same. Like as far as I remember, like it just felt like, yep, all the buttons are in the same place.
The only difference is they've added. there's a stat, you know, you have your turbo bar, right? They call it stamina in this one. And if your stamina runs out, you can't push and you can't crossover, I think.
Right.
And you get the most obnoxious controller vibration that you've ever experienced.
I did not know an Xbox One controller could vibrate that hard.
Are you using an Elite controller?
No, I was playing it on my upstairs Xbox.
Okay, so it doesn't even matter. I wasn't sure if that was an Elite issue or not. But
no, it almost vibrated out of my
hand. I'm pretty sure having an upstairs Xbox is an Elite issue.
Yeah, I feel like if you, you know, this thing must drain batteries, like it's going out of style. And I actually checked to see if you could turn off the vibration or turn it down. You can't. There's no option at all. It's just, fuck it. This thing's going to vibrate loudly and strong.
Stop using your stamina.
Right.
I've played that game twice, and the two times I played it, my son was in the room, and every 8 seconds he kept asking me, do you have LeBron James? Which one's LeBron James?
Kids like LeBron James. That's a good
question. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, they're all LeBron James. Get out of here.
So besides the controller vibrating, I mean, which is weird that you can't turn it off. I mean, I know that I'm out of stamina because there's a red, you know, you have a meter on each guy and the moves don't work if you don't have any. So I don't really need the obnoxious battery draining vibration. But the gameplay, I think, is really solid and fun. I mean, it's NBA Jam. They've added a few scoring mechanic changes. So
yeah, the lottery pick stuff. Oh, well, and the scoring changes where if you shoot a perfect shot, you get an extra point.
Right.
Yeah, you can get a four-pointer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the first shot of the game gets an extra point. The first basket of the game gets an extra point. The lottery meter is gets filled up by mostly dunking or alley-ooping and a little bit from
steals and blocks.
Yeah. And once that happens,
positive things.
There's basically like a little random selection of power-ups that you get, like unlimited stamina, a double points on dunks, I think.
Yep.
And
you unlock all the different ones by going through the tournament mode in the game.
Yeah. So you have three different modes. You have an exhibition mode, you have a tournament mode, which you know, it's like four different matches in a few different cities with different courts. There's no real, there's no gameplay differences on each court, but they, you know, they look pretty nice. And there's an online mode, which I couldn't get to work. I tried to test that out today. It did not function. I could not get a game going.
And probably just because everybody was at work.
Path could be. That could be. but if you like NBA Jam, here's the problem.
I like the card system too, because you don't have to pay for them.
Yes. When you win each tournament and as you level up, you get cards just like Overwatch, except these are different basketball players that you unlock for use.
I've got a legendary James Harden.
I did too.
You do?
Oh,
you
no, wait. Is that the guy with the beard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did get him, but he didn't seem like he was that good. Is there an epic James Harden also with better stats?
I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
I don't know if that's how it's set up. I know I have epic Kevin Durant and legendary James Harden are the two that I roll with.
I'm trying to remember if I have epic or legendary now. I didn't know there was one or the other of the characters.
Legendary is above epic. I think you have epic.
I have because I have Clyde Drexler.
Yeah, I got him. Yeah, they have classic players, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they have like, I know who that is.
Right.
Exactly. I know who Chris Mullin is.
Yeah, I have him.
For some reason, they have eight Denver Nuggets players. Like most teams have, like, I don't know, four players.
Even the Denver Nuggets don't have eight Denver Nuggets.
Right. It's like, what happened here, guys?
The thing is,
there's some weird, like, weird players on weird teams, like Robert Parrish for the Bulls, I think. It's like, I'm sure he played for the Bulls at some point in his career, but that's not like where I would put him at.
Yeah, I mean, NBA Jam is backwards compatible on Xbox 360. I mean, the Xbox 360 version, rather, works on Xbox One. And that's still really solid if you already have that. And, you know, you have a lot more, like, specialty players. And, like, you know, you can play as Obama, which is fun.
Right. But this has the current players too. That
yeah. For it. I mean, no, I would recommend this game. It's pretty easy $20. To recommend. Yeah.
I have Jeremy Lin on unlocked.
Yeah.
What team is he on in this game?
Brooklyn Nets.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm having fun with it. It's fun. It's a fun game. NBA Playgrounds. What else we got this week?
We have Forza Horizon 3 Hot Wheels.
Yes. The
expansion pack that we've all played a little bit of, I think, as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does it seem thin to you guys, or is it just that I haven't played enough yet?
It does not seem thin. It's got everything in there.
I feel like, does it have more than, is it, I have to unlock more races, or are there really just like three?
Oh, you unlock stuff as you go.
No, it's got all the different kind of races. It's got the bucket list. It has a barn find.
Okay. I was going to say, if it's just me, that's fine.
I'd rather it be me. It's all there. Like, it's more Forza in this crazy Hot Wheels Island.
Yeah. It's very,
which is pretty cool.
It looks amazing. If the visuals are just so amazing, seeing the suspended Hot Wheels tracks above the water and, the big jumps and everything. I had this weird problem that
dinosaur.
You saw me complaining about it on Twitter. I couldn't get past the intro. Like, I kept the car that they give you is very slippery. And I think because I play that game with the realistic driving settings, I would keep hitting the wall. And instead of just bouncing off the wall and going on, my car would get stuck on the wall and there was no way to exit out or reset your position on the track or anything. I had to turn the game off and turn it back on. And I had to do that three times before I was able to, on the fourth try, get through, which was a little weird, but I did make it through. And I don't know. It seems like a lot of fun. You can even make your own. You can customize the races just like you could in the main game, and choose which stunts are going in the races, and give it a fun name. See if you can find my fun named race that I set up. I don't know. I think it's probably a no brainer for most Horizon 3 fans
or Hot Wheels fans.
Yeah. Whoever had this idea should be promoted. This is a good idea.
Yeah, no, this is one of the best DLC concepts I've probably have ever seen. So
it's pretty amazing that their engine is that scalable. It's like, okay, yeah, we can race upside down now and be like on these big banks and everything.
Loop de loop.
Right.
Yeah, it's very fun. Anything else this week?
Flat Out 4 came out.
Yeah.
That looks pretty fun still.
The reviews weren't great.
But they haven't been in a long time for Flat Out, right?
I don't know. Sort of fell off my radar.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that'll be something that I would pick up later. Right now it's $50, but if that got down to the $20 range, I could see flinging a guy out of a car at Target's.
Yeah.
To be worth $20 worth of fun.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. Anything else here?
No, I think that's it. Nothing came out for Switch. Oh, NBA Playgrounds came out for Switch.
People say that version has some issues.
Not so good from what I've been hearing.
It doesn't surprise me, as I think it looks like a modern game on PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah. Little fuzzy, the graphics, perhaps? Even on Xbox?
Maybe.
But, it's still fun. You know what else is fun? Shaving with Harry's. God damn, is that fun. Well, we love Harry's because they offer you top quality razors at half the price. And in case you didn't know, Harry's was started by two guys, Jeff and Andy, who were tired of getting ripped off by the big razor blade companies, and they decided to do something about it. And that something was to buy a blade factory in Germany and offer their blades direct to the consumer for half price. And I know that I'm a big fan of the new generation of blades that has the little, what do you call it? The mustache trimmer.
Mm-hmm.
in case you need to get under your nose. I know I have thick hair underneath my nose. That's hard to get off, but I can use that blade and cut it right off. And also a big fan of the post-shaved bomb. It's the bomb wombat.
I used Harry's today. I trimmed my non-bearded facial area. I looked very neat and trim. I got a haircut this week, so I actually shaved almost every day. That I just got a haircut, so I don't want to look like a slob for 5 days thing going on.
That's important.
It is important. I think everyone knows what I'm talking about. So, and I have that wedding on Friday that I'm going to, so I need to make sure I look my best. And I will be sure to not just shave that morning, but I may even take my Harry's razor with me in case
shave
I need
during
to
the wedding.
Up. Yeah. Well, I know the groom's going to be using Harry's razors because I got him one.
Yeah, we know that. That was very slick of you.
Yeah. See.
See, I like slick shaving cream.
Yep. I'm gonna have to take a picture of his face and be like, "See, Harry's razors saving the day."
Well, Harry's is so confident that you'll love their blades, they're giving you their trial set for free. Just cover $3 shipping. Your free trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. That's a $13 value for you to try.
A $13 value.
$13 value. Yes, that's I left out the important dollar. So to get your free trial set, including blah, 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 go to harrys.com/cadcast right now. That's harrys.com/cadcast. I think you will enjoy it. Thank you, Harry's. Now it's time for multi-platforming and Wombat's Overwatch Onslaught and news and stuff. A lot of Overwatch news this week, Wombat.
Oh, wonderful.
Overwatch has hit the $1 billion mark, Wombat. What do you say about that?
I'm surprised that anyone cares about this garbage game, but I'm glad that you play it.
I'm not surprised. It's a phenomenon. And it's a
phenomenon.
And it's a quality title.
No, that's Will Smith, not Hammer. Stay on theme.
Yeah. So that's a big deal. For Activision, that seems to be money well spent for them, and it doesn't seem to be slowing down any. If anything, it's seems to be gaining users. And also, there's, you know, have you heard about this Overwatch League that's they're trying to set up, that Activision is trying to set up? So they're trying to set up an official Overwatch League, and they're selling franchises right now. Well, they're trying to sell franchises. But it seems like the minimum buy-in to get a city-specific franchise for this league is $20 million. And in the bigger markets, it's going to be more than that. But they don't seem to be getting a lot of takers because
that's $20 million.
Because that's $20 million. And not just that, it seems like the terms of the deal are also not that favorable. Like in terms of the revenue sharing, and if you want
the fact that you have to pay them $20 million
and the $20 million. And if you want to sell your team, then Activision gets
somebody has to pay you $20 million to break even.
And then Activision gets 25% of that, of whatever you sell your team for. So, yeah, I mean, Activision says that everything's still on schedule, but I don't know. It's this article on ESPN seems to hint that it's not going that well and that it might be delayed because it's supposed to start this year. I would go to watch an Overwatch event at a stadium. I would do that even though I'm 43 years old. I wouldn't feel that.
I would watch it on TV. Sometimes they show that stuff on TV.
Yeah.
Like Spike, they show that stuff.
People get I would, into that shit, though. I'd like to check out see what the crowd is like compared to a hockey game, for example, which is something else I've seen in a stadium. So I don't know. I'm into it. Wombat, this is some big news that you're probably very interested in about the future of Mass Effect. Have you read about this?
I did read up on this. It's sad. I have to be close to 80 hours or maybe more into Andromeda. I'm at the point in the game now, though, where I have one story mission left. Like, it gives you that warning before you start it. Mm-hmm. Do you, you know, do you sure you don't want to do any more side missions before you start this? So I've been doing like just finishing out any little side missions I want to do. I probably could finish that game in another hour if I wanted to, but I'm enjoying it too much. I'll be perfectly honest.
Well, you didn't say what the news sad news was.
Oh yeah, they downsized the staff, and they're putting the franchise on hold.
Right.
Which is kind of a bummer.
I think
they kind of did that when they killed Shepard.
Yeah, we talked about that previously. Right. About, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I know actually it's funny because a lot of people when we talked about that said that that's the last thing they want them to do is bring back Shepard. But I'm going to say that the next BioWare game comes out in 2018, so I'm going to say by 2020. If we have another Mass Effect game, they're probably trying to figure out how to get Shepard back into that franchise. That's my guess. But I don't think we're going to see Andromeda again.
Well,
or
I don't know what
Ryder.
Andromeda is. Like, there's a problem with this game. Like, nobody knows any of these characters or what it is, when it takes place, how it relates to the other Mass Effect.
So it takes place before Mass Effect 3. It may even take place before the first Mass Effect, or maybe between Mass Effect 1.
You've played this game for 80 hours and you can't even answer this question.
Well, I'm trying to gauge the timeline. So basically you're like on an ark and you traveled
like
for 600... Like Noah's
Ark. Are you gathering
ark?
The animals up from space?
Yeah, but it's humans and Krogans and the other ones.
The blue ones.
Yeah, the blue ones, the Asari, and you've been in stasis for 600 years, and you're supposed to wake up in this other galaxy, Andromeda, and repopulate the species on these paradise planets. But when you
just
get there,
boning everybody.
Exactly. You find out that these planets that were supposed to be paradise planets are actually garbage planets. And you have to figure out why are these planets all garbage planets now? And you meet the races that live there, and you screw some people, and you shoot a lot of people. That's kind of it.
Why don't you just tell me why these planets are garbage planets?
Yeah, these are garbage planets. What the fuck is going on?
Don't you think what sort of killed this game and what led to this...
And you're the Pathfinder.
Right.
Instead of a Spectre, you're the Pathfinder.
Is it so much that Shepard isn't in the game what really hurt this game? Or was it the dank memes that killed this game about the, you know, the wonky animation?
I think that hurt it, but it was hurting before that.
Yeah.
It just did not have the buzz.
I think the dank memes definitely hurt it a lot, maybe more than not having Shepard. Like, if this game came out and it looked amazing and was technically perfect,
yeah,
I think it would have had a much better reception, of course. But it wasn't, and it definitely hurt a very fun game. I think that they overthought the open world concept when if they did something that was probably a little bit more like, even a little bit more like Dragon Age Inquisition, where things were a little more insular, it might have worked better. You know, one big open world, we talked about this before, is better than six different open worlds, especially when, you know, you have to sit through four or five loading screens to do a mission that should take like a minute and a half.
I mean, I remember when Mass Effect was and even the second one was, they were revealed at E3. And I don't remember really seeing a more impressive technical display at that time, and it was pretty jaw-dropping. I remember sitting in those presentations just being amazed and like at just the quality of the visuals and, you know, the quality of the set pieces. And I think that was sort of the calling card of the Mass Effect series. And when word got out that this game was not up to snuff in that department, people were like, oh, that's not a good sign.
But some of those elements are there. Like when they're basically each planet, it's essentially, it's the same one on each one, but there's this big boss that you have to kill.
Okay.
And that's kind of cool every time. And, you know, so there, some of the infiltration going into like a base and killing all the main bad guys, that could be fun every time too. The, you know, the loyalty missions are, They're not as good as Mass Effect 3, but they're somewhat decent. They're not bad. But but the combat is still very good. It has really good combat. The weapon variations are very good. There's a lot of different types of weapons in each class set. And there's a lot of powers, and there's a lot of figuring out, you know, what you like and what you don't like. And they make it fairly easy to respec your character, too. I was playing, you know, I'm level 52 in this game, and I just respec my character and went from being a pure soldier to being something that's completely balanced just because I wanted to see what that was like. And it was, you know, it didn't cost a lot of in-game currency to do so. So it does a lot right. It's a very fun game. It's a very, you know, I use this as an example. It's a good escapist game. It's very easy to relax into. It's not overly difficult, but it's not too easy. It just, again, there's a lot of time doing nothing. That's bad. Too many load screens on certain missions. Too many missions that take you to various planets for no good reason. So
I'll play it sometime. I think
you'll play it.
That's what everybody's owns saying. It.
I know
it's sitting over there on my shelf. It'll get
well, you bought played. It at least. They got your money.
I did. Because I pre-ordered it a long time ago.
You know, once the word is out about a game, it's tough for these games to rebound. The game industry, like the first 2 weeks, well, that's where all the sales happen. And when you have these gifs going around with wonky eyeballs and weird walking, that's going to turn a lot of people off, and you can kiss those sales goodbye.
A new patch came out today. Another one.
There's a new patch. Another new patch?
Yeah, it came out today.
Uh-oh. We lost
no longer a part of this patch. One of the problems was
Wombat.
Every time I would go on the ship, they would tell me I have new email. They finally fixed that with a patch.
I see. Well, I didn't hear anything you said, but that's okay.
Nope. That's all right.
I'm sure
it was all good stuff.
Yes, I agree.
Wow.
100%. All right.
Thanks.
That's at me monkey brain writes in, and he asks if we are going to buy Injustice 2, or do the 3 DLCs keep you off? Turn you off or whatever. I don't know. I've watched some video of this game. It looks pretty fucking solid. It looks like I want it. But at the same time, I see there's a $100 version of the game that gets you all the goodies. And I don't want to spend $100 or $80 at Best Buy. So I don't know what to do.
You want to wait.
Ty keeps asking me about it. He knows.
He's not old enough for it.
Why not?
It's rated M for mature.
Really?
I don't know.
I don't think it is. It definitely isn't.
No, but that's what you tell Ty. And then you have to buy it.
I'm pretty sure Ty can read.
Yeah, he knows about these things. Yeah, that's not going to work. He wants it. He wants to check it out. But I could also tell him it got delayed indefinitely. But I don't know. We'll see. I just... I don't know.
I bought Mortal Kombat XL for $20, and I don't regret that purchase at all.
I don't really need to play it right away, right? I mean,
I got Injustice 1 Super Edition for $9.95 or something.
Yeah.
I don't regret that decision at all either.
It's not like we're going to be playing this competitively online and that we need to
That's
get it.
That's what I mean.
Away.
You're not missing out by waiting. You're only gaining all the extra characters, and you're not going to play this with anyone anyway.
You're right. I'm just going to play the single player. The single player was great in the first one because it has the story and, you know, it does. I like the way they handle the single player in these games.
And you're just going to be annoyed if you don't pre-order it and you don't have Darkseid, because Darkseid is free when you pre-order it. But if you don't pre-order it, you don't get one of the major characters in the DC universe.
They kind of, so they're out.
You're already angry at this game before you even bought it. It's such a bad idea to do something.
It like is. That. I totally agree. I can't imagine that people are like, oh, fuck it. I'll just buy the $100 version.
I think they do.
They do. More people.
I think a surprising amount of people do.
Yeah.
That's why they keep doing it.
Right.
No one screws over. Oh, they're so terrible. They did it with both Injustices now. They've done it with Mortal Kombat. They just love to be like, fuck you guys, you're going to buy it.
See? But I'm not.
How much can we nickel and dime everyone for? You want easy fatalities? That's $5.
Yeah, see, I don't need to buy it right away. I think you've convinced me. You asked for a review copy, right?
I did.
You think you're going to get it?
I don't know. I kind of want to know, because again, it's that whole thing. Like, if they wait until the last minute to tell me I'm not getting one, and I miss the pre-order window,
but you're not gonna,
and I don't get, you're not pre-order, and I don't get a free Darkseid, then I'm not gonna get it.
Right. It does seem weird. So, like, if you don't get it, if you don't pre-order it, then you're probably not buying it until it's much cheaper.
Yeah. Exactly. They made that decision. Their marketing department made that decision for the consumer. If you don't pre-order it, there is no reason for you to buy this game until it drops in price and has that, you know, that gold edition, because you're already missing out on a character that your friends may have and got for free,
a major one,
because they bought it 2 days before you.
Yeah, well, I guess they crunch the numbers and there's enough whales out there willing to go all in, but I'm not paying $100 for a video game, pretty much. That's just, I can't really see that happening. Let's talk about Nintendo for a minute. I thought this
It's a serial now.
It is. I thought this was sort of interesting because we learned a little bit about the Switch and the process of pricing games. So there's a game called Rime. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's probably not
R-I-M-E.
Rime? I don't know. In Japanese, you would say Rime. Basically, this game costs an extra $10 on the Switch. And that turns out to be because making the cartridges is more expensive than making a Blu-ray.
That makes sense.
And that if they wanted to charge the same price as they were for other consoles, this company would be losing money on every copy they sold. So they can't do that. And I wonder if that's, I mean, for a company that already has problems attracting third parties to their platform, seems like a weird decision to make. Let's go with this more expensive media. I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe they were thinking it doesn't really fucking matter because we're going to have enough trouble getting third parties that, I don't know, only the really desperate ones are going to jump in. I don't know. I don't know what the thought process is there. But that's the reason why this game is $10 more on Switch. And we've seen other games that, you know, that we were questioning the pricing on, like some indie games seemed like a little pricey on Switch. So that's the reason why. Now we know. What else we got here? Are you still talking about the Caligula effect ship?
I'm still playing it. That's the Vita game that I was playing last week. The battle system, I talked about it, where you get to see what, like, the predicted outcome is, like, as you're selecting it. It's gotten to be really complicated at this point.
Oh.
And it doesn't, for the most part, doesn't matter, because I can just hit any attack and I generally win.
Hmm.
So it feels like the story is good enough to make me keep playing it, but it feels all the mechanics in the game feel like something that somebody had really, like, high aspirations when they were putting it all together and probably just didn't balance it very well.
Have we figured out why it's called the Caligula effect yet?
No clue.
We'll never learn that, right?
No, I don't know. Maybe it'll be like a big reveal at the end.
Yeah. All right, that's cool. In the world of Microsoft, we got a question from @campos63. He says, with E3 hype coming, do you think there will be a Halo announcement for a release this year? What major titles will Xbox have come fall?
Crackdown.
Gotta have Crackdown, right? And another Forza game. You know, Forza Motorsport, which with Scorpio, you know, support.
I wouldn't be surprised if they show something Halo, but I don't think it's coming out this
year. I would be surprised if they didn't show something Halo.
They have to.
Like, I think they'll have.
Have they ever had a press conference
without Halo? A pre-rendered trailer, but no gameplay.
Well, they could have gameplay. It just could also not come out. It could not mean. It doesn't have to mean much, you know.
Yeah, I don't think we're getting a Halo this year.
Right. What about a Halo? Is there any re-release Halo that they haven't hit up yet that they could shove out the door this fall? I haven't. No, they put out everything already in that one bundle, right?
Yeah, I think they
blew their
unless
load.
They're going to re-release. What was the last one? Five? Halo 5 again?
re-release for a game on its own console?
Or maybe like
the Scorpio edition.
Exactly. Everything optimized for Scorpio now? Could that be a thing? I mean, Halo is Microsoft's cash cow. So they're going to try to push out something probably, but
I just don't see it for this fall.
No, unless it's like, some sort of remaster, which they've already remastered. A re-remaster. It seems unlikely.
I think Crackdown's their big one this fall.
Yeah. I don't know.
And sure, that may not be enough for whatever reason, but.
Yeah. And virtual reality. I don't know. I think we're ready for CAGBAG.
Yep.
Let's see. At Time Doctor writes in and he asks if we've played Player Unknown's Battlegrounds yet. I mentioned that I'd played that before. That's the game where it's like 100 people on a map that you get parachuted out of a plane into, and you start with nothing and you have to find weapons, and sort of every man for themselves, or there's like a team mode as well. It's pretty wild and it's pretty fun and it makes for great social media clips because crazy shit can happen in that game. I've seen some hilarious things. I would be very surprised if you don't see it at somebody's E3 conference, at somebody's press conference this year, because I feel like that game has a lot of potential to be successful, even though it's basically an indie game. So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it could be like an exclusive somewhere. Somebody should probably grab that up for console exclusive.
And they've already sold 2 million copies of it, I think I saw.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. And it's in early access. I'm pretty sure still. Yeah. I think that's, you know, it's not a big, stretch to say that game has a lot of potential. It's a lot of fun. Battlegrounds. At Bing Bang Boom has a question for you, Wombat. He wants to know if you are now pro indie since winning all of those Xbox games. Sounds like you might have changed your tune compared to a few years ago.
It wasn't that I was ever anti indie. I was anti being told that I had to like a game because it was indie and that's what true gamers were supposed to be playing.
Aha.
That's what always bothered me. I have no problem with like indie games that I like because I just want to play and enjoy it, as opposed to, you know, like when Braid came out and every critic was saying, if you don't play Braid and love it, then obviously you don't understand the medium. Well,
right.
That's different.
So you didn't have a problem with the indie games per se. You had a problem with the indie game fans, really.
Exactly. Like, yeah, pretty much.
And their attitudes.
Yes, they think they're better than everyone else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When really we all know that I'm better than everyone mm-hmm. else.
Especially since
Braid was pretty good.
Yeah.
I like Braid.
Me too.
So how is your indie game
bonanza
scene going right now, Wombat?
Well, right now I'm trying to finish up Mass Effect, so I've sort of taken a break.
That's not an indie game.
From that.
So you've set those 20 games off to the side.
Yes. I feel like it's funny because I feel like I played one. Like a couple of days ago, and if you're I played that that rhythm game that you got GP Aero.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I played a good amount of that.
It's hard, right?
I played it on regular mode, and then I played it on the I'm an idiot mode.
Yeah.
And that was fun for a Sunday morning. Elliot and I played that together.
Yeah, it has cool visuals and
yeah. We had a lot of fun. We sat on the couch and we watched it and he kept asking me questions. What planet is this? Who are those guys? What are you doing? Why are you moving in a circle?
Right.
What's the line for?
Is that Skill Rex? let's see what else we got here. Okay, at Peoples 204 asks, seeing how the PS4 Pro wasn't an Instagrab like a new iteration of a system tends to be, do you think Scorpio is gonna do well?
Is PS Pro a new iteration of a system?
Well, sure.
Yeah. It's a redesign
of
sorts.
It's the same as like a slim version of a system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except more expensive. I mean, they went in the other direction.
It's not new in the sense that if you have a PlayStation 4, which is best exactly selling of the new consoles.
if you looked up the definition of new and iteration, that is exactly what the PS Pro is.
Is that what I guess? Well,
the difference is that usually the new iteration of a system is cheaper than the other one. And this one was more expensive than the other one, but offered what's supposed to be substantial benefits, although you got Prey, which apparently doesn't have any PS4 Pro enhancement, and you got Injustice 2, which I haven't read anything, been able to find anything about any PS4 Pro enhancements. So have developers given up on this shit already? Is it over? Is this like the new VR, PSVR, and every other?
There's not as enough people with 4K TVs.
The problem isn't the console. The problem is that technology. 4K TVs are not as common. You know, when the 360 came out and the PlayStation 3 came out, the HDTV revolution was in full swing. A lot of that has to do with the NFL and networks broadcasting in HD. And until you see that happen in a more mainstream way with things that are not video games, and then the TV prices go down significantly, there's not going to be a real reason to buy these kind of consoles. You know, when everyone has a 4K TV, then everyone will need a 4K console.
So you think that the Scorpio is going to basically suffer the same fate as the PS4 Pro, I guess.
It's not a bad fate. It's just, it's not...
Well, I think they know that, though. I don't think they're putting this out because they expect it to be a huge seller. I think they're putting it out to say that they have it out.
No, I agree. I agree with that. But I didn't expect the support to dry up so quickly. That's the alarming part of this. Like Sony,
you have to, once the NFL starts broadcasting in 4K, then all of your games will have a 4K mode. But that's what's going to happen first. In some capacity, the NFL is going to need to be able to broadcast in 4K.
Isn't the
whether it be via an app or via the networks, until you have 4K NFL, you are not going to have universal support for 4K.
I don't even think 4K NFL will matter. It's just that it's just a matter of when people need to replace their TVs.
Well, once the switchover really happens and everything's in 4K. Like it was with HD, but even then, I don't think that's that much of a drastic difference. People are going to feel as obligated.
That jump to HD also happened at the time where we went from, like, very shortly after we went from CRT TVs, these big hulking pieces of furniture, to having thin TVs.
It's a pretty amazing technological advance,
right? It's not. It's nowhere near going from 1080p to 4K.
Right.
And I agree with you. That's 100% true. I mean, it's amazing when I think of the 27-inch TV Sony Trinitron I had in the living room as a kid and thinking how massive it was. And looking back on it now, it's tiny compared to the 55-inch flat screen that I have in my living room.
You mean just like viewing size, not the actual item itself.
And not the actual item, but the actual item itself was massive compared to what I currently have. Exactly. It's striking how much that technology has advanced. And, you know, CRTVs were the only option for, 50 years? So...
Yeah.
Well, so we're not going with that drastic a technological advantage.
So to answer this guy's question, I think what we're saying is no, we don't really expect the Scorpio to sell big numbers or to push Microsoft even with Sony or to gain ground with Sony. I think it's more of like a marketing point. Is it something you can run commercials around? And also it seems like Microsoft is headed in the direction of, hey, we're not really going to have a new generation of consoles. This is really now like a PC and it's a platform and we can just keep releasing incremental upgrades every couple years and everything's going to be backwards compatible and we won't have to have people abandon their software libraries just like a PC. So, yeah, I think that's sort of what's going to happen with Scorpio. Okay, I think we can wrap things up. I know that Wombats needs to go to bed now.
Yep.
So I'll remind everybody to follow us on Twitter at GPD, at New Wombat, at Shipwreck, and of course at Video Game Deals for that hot video game deal action. And of course, go to harrys.com/cadcast to get your free trial set. Do it right now. And we will see you next week.
Bread stunt.
Competition. Dick Lewis is watching.